ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायतिः गिरिं यत्कृपातम् अहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यैश्वरम्। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महाविदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरहत्रे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते। सप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Okay, so we have been discussing second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we discussed till text 11 last time. So Lord Krishna has been describing various ways how he can be perceived within this material nature. He is the taste of water. He is the strength of the strong. The intelligence of the intellect of the intelligence, the syllable Om. So like that, Krishna is describing various ways how the Supreme Lord is perceived in various ways. And moving forward, the text 12 through 14 is very important in the sense, somebody may ask, God can be perceived in so many ways, why people don't understand God? Why people don't understand Krishna? Why people don't approach Krishna? They surrender unto Krishna. So we'll be reading text 12 through 14 and then we'll discuss these three verses. Yachaiva sattvika bhava rajasas tamasas chaye मत्तैवेत्ति तान् विद्धि तैव अहं तेषु ते मयि। नो दैट ऑल स्टेट ऑफ बीइंग बाय दे बी ऑफ गुडनेस पैशन और इग्नोरेंस आर मैनिफेस्टेड बाय माय एनर्जी। आई एम इन वन सेंस एवरीथिंग बट आई एम इंडिपेंडेंट। आई एम नॉट अंडर द मोड्स ऑफ मटीरियल नेचर फॉर दे ऑन द कॉन्ट्ररी आर विद इन मी। त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैर् एभिः सर्वम् इदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानन्ति माम् एभ्य परम् अव्ययम्। Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. text 14 देवेह एष गुणमयी मम मायाधुरतया मामेव ये प्रपद्यन्ते मायामेतां तरन्ति ते. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond this. So starting with text 12, Lord Krishna is describing that all the living entities and all the various material activities in the world, they are all being conducted under the three modes of material nature. And although all these three modes are emanations from the Supreme Lord Krishna, He is not subject to them. For instance, under the state law, one may be punished, but the king, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. Similarly, all the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are emanations from the Supreme Lord. But Krishna is not subject to material nature. Therefore, He is Nirguna. Which means that these gunas or modes, although issuing from Him, do not affect Him. That is one of the special characteristics of Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada is describing in these three verses, in the purports, that how this whole material world, the different activities, everything is under the three modes of material nature. But Krishna, who is the creator, the lawmaker, is not subject to that law. So yacha eva sattvika bhava rajasas rajasas tamasaschaye mat eveti tanvidhi natva aham teshu temai. Krishna is clearly stating here, I am not under the modes of material nature. On the contrary, everything is within me. So all the living entities and all the activities are under the three modes. So basically everything within this material world is the product of three modes. Either you consider any place or a particular time of the day or any activity or even the food, everything is categorized in three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So there are places which are influenced by these modes. Some place may be a place of goodness and some other place is completely representing mode of ignorance. For example, going to a nature walk, that is place in mode of goodness, and casino, pub, some dance bar, these are the places of influence in the mode of ignorance. Same way the time of the day, the morning time, is considered in mode of goodness. The daytime is considered as mode of passion, and the late evening, night time, is considered as mode of ignorance. And same way, the food is categorized in three modes. Some foods are completely in mode of goodness, like the milk products, the grains, fruits and vegetables. And then other foods, which is more spicy, too much oily, too much pungent, those are in mode of passion. And some food which are stale, they are considered in mode of ignorance. And then any activity also, be it charity, austerity, even our knowledge, is also categorized in mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And Krishna describes all these various things in more detail in chapter 16 and 17. What are all these various things in three different modes? So every living entity and every activity is under the modes of nature. As the three primary colors, red, yellow, blue, and all other colors come from these three primary colors. By mixing these three colors in any proportion, all other colors can be made. The same way, everything is product of these three modes. Somebody may be more in mode of goodness, mode of goodness is prominent in somebody, mode of passion may be prominent in somebody, mode of ignorance may be prominent. But this mode, it's not that one is always in one particular mode. It keeps changing. At some particular time, at some particular place, somebody may be in mode of goodness. But at other times, somebody is under passion or ignorance. And these three modes are like the three ropes. And by the combination of these three ropes, all these different things come up. And everybody is bound by these three ropes. Somebody may be bound by the rope of gold, or somebody may be bound by the rope of silver. Somebody may be bound by the chain made of steel. It doesn't matter what the chain is made up of. Ultimately, the person is bound. So same way, it doesn't matter if somebody is still under the mode of goodness, that is also binding. And ultimately, one has to go beyond the three modes, even go beyond goodness to Shuddha Sattva. And Krishna is saying, all these three modes are created by me. But I am not under these three modes. I am not influenced by the three modes, or I am not the product of three modes. See, we are the product of this material nature, the elements of material nature, and the product of these three modes. But Krishna is not the product of material nature or a product of three modes. So that's where our concept differs from the Mayavad concept. What is Mayavadi concept? The first concept is God is impersonal. God does not have form. God is just some energy, some effulgence. And they go further next, they say, and when God comes in this material world, he assumes some form. He assumes a material body. And he is also the product of this material nature and the product of three modes. So God, when he assumes a form, he comes in this material world, he is also influenced by the modes. So he is also covered up by Maya. So that is Mayavadi concept. That's why it's called Mayavadi. Vad means to speak or philosophy, and Maya means they speak that God is also under Maya. So that is Mayavad philosophy. Just considering God is impersonal, up to that point may not be actually Mayavad. That may be considered as Brahmavad, because God has that aspect as Brahman. Right? God is realized in three different aspects, as Brahman, Paramatma, and in the personal form as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So saying that God is Brahman, up to that point is correct if one is only saying that part. But when somebody says that God also, when comes in this material world, he assumes a material form, accepts a material body, which is product of the material nature and modes of material nature, and God also is covered up by Maya under the modes of material nature, that is completely Mayavad philosophy. And another part of the Mayavad philosophy is that we are also God. That right now we don't realize our real identity, real Savarup, because we are covered up by Maya. When we go beyond Maya, when we overcome the influence of Maya, then we will realize our real Savarup, that we are God. So that is completely Mayavad concept. And here Krishna is himself rejecting that Mayavad philosophy. Krishna is saying, I am not under the modes of material nature. They are within me. They are under my control. Natva aham teshu te mai. So up to describing here, that Krishna is saying, everything is under my control. All these three modes come from me. And before that, Krishna has described how the Supreme Lord can be perceived within everything in this world. And the question comes then, why people are not able to approach Krishna? If Krishna is the source of everything, in every object Krishna's opulences can be perceived, why people not understand Krishna and why people do not approach Krishna? So Krishna answers that in the next verse, text 13. where Krishna says, Tribhir guna mair bhaver ebhai sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhijanati maam ebhyam paramabhyayam. Because everybody is deluded by these three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. So that's why the whole world does not know me. Because I am above these three modes and I am inexhaustible. Mohitam nabhijanati, being deluded, they do not know me. So the whole world is enchanted by these three modes of material nature. And those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand something which is beyond these three modes, which is transcendental to this material nature. So people in mode of goodness, they take pleasure in gaining knowledge. So at least they understand that there is something higher. So that is the starting point to approach the Supreme Lord. So our goal is to come to the mode of goodness where we can start gaining the actual knowledge and start our journey towards understanding Krishna. But people who are in mode of passion, they take pleasure in gaining name and fame, acquiring wealth, power, and whatever the problem is faced, they say, okay, money can solve all the problems. So throw the money and it will solve all problems. So that is the mode of passion, just trying to gain more and more control and power and wealth. And people who are in mode of ignorance, they take shelter in smoking, intoxication, oversleeping, laziness. But when somebody comes beyond these three modes, somebody crosses beyond the mode of goodness also, come to the mode of Shuddha Sattva, transcendence, then they can understand Krishna. And there are very rare people like that who can come to that level of understanding. So these three modes are like the colored glasses, which makes our vision also tinted. If somebody is wearing a red glass, to whom everything seems reddish. If you look at the sky also while wearing those red glasses, the sky also appears red. If he looks at the ground looks red. Look at the water, water looks red. So based on the color in front of our eyes, everything looks of that color. So same way, because we are influenced by these three modes, we are not able to perceive the real position of Krishna. We cannot understand Krishna in its totality. Tattvataha. But it is not that Krishna becomes covered by these three modes. It is our vision that becomes covered. How to understand that? Consider the example of cloud in the sky. So when there is cloud in the sky and the cloud is between us and the sun, we may sometimes foolishly think that our sun is covered by the cloud. But if we really see, sun is too big in size and sun is present there, it is our vision which got covered by the cloud. The same way, because our vision is covered by these three modes of material nature, we are not able to see Krishna or perceive Krishna, realize Krishna. So in one sense, clouds are formed by the sun. And cloud do not cover sun, but our vision is covered by the cloud. The same way, Maya is created by Krishna. Maya does not cover Krishna, Maya covers our vision. So that's what Krishna is saying here in this verse. That people are not able to approach me, people are not able to see me because they are deluded by these three modes. So that's how the whole world does not know me. Because I am beyond these three modes. Covered up by these three modes, we consider ourselves, we identify ourselves in various ways. we consider ourselves as man or woman, as a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Shudra or a Vaishya, as an Indian or an American, or as a Hindu or a Muslim. So we become entangled with these three modes of material nature. And then we forget the Supreme Lord, who is behind all these three modes. But how we can approach Krishna to understand somebody who is beyond the three modes, we have to take help of somebody who is beyond. So only Krishna can help us understand him. With our limited understanding, with our limited intelligence, we cannot understand Krishna. So Krishna, when he removes that curtain of Maya in front of our eyes, then only we can perceive him properly. And that's what Krishna is explaining in the next verse, which is very, very important verse. Here Krishna says, Devi hi esha gunamai mama maya durattaya. Mamevatye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. So this verse, it can be split into two parts. So first of all, material energy is very difficult to overcome. So if material energy is very difficult to overcome, is there any way out at all? Or we are just stuck here? So Krishna says in the second part of the verse, yes, there is a way out. And what is that way? If one surrenders unto me, then one can easily cross beyond it. So two parts in this verse. First part about the material nature, and it is very difficult to overcome. And the second part of this verse is how to overcome this. In the first part, Krishna says, Mama Maya. Krishna says, this material nature, which consists of the three modes, is mine, Mama Maya. So now somebody may say, generally, Maya is considered as something bad, which is covering up people or taking people away from Krishna. Then why it is Krishna's energy, or why Krishna, if it is Krishna's energy, why Krishna allows Maya to take people away from him? So it's actually not Maya which is taking people away from Krishna. It is our desire to stay away from Krishna. And that's how we are covered by Maya. Maya is just testing us how sincere or how determined we are to move towards Krishna. Sometimes we may say, oh, Maya is tempting me, or Maya is making me pick the wrong things. It is not that Maya is giving us wrong choices, or Maya is forcing us to do the wrong things. It is we who chose wrong things. For example, if we appear in a test, now the teacher may give many questions on the test, and all these questions may be multiple choice questions. And for every question, there is one right answer, and there may be 3-4 wrong choices. So it is up to us if we pick the right choice or the wrong choice. It is not the teacher who gave those wrong choices or who made us pick the wrong choice. It is us who picked the wrong choice on the question. So test is just a facility to check our knowledge, to check our understanding, and a facility for us to move forward. The same way, these various choices come in front of us in this world. And based on our understanding or based on our desires, we end up picking the wrong choices. For example, we have different choices to make or different options to pick from. On Friday evening, you have the option to go to satsang program, or you have the option to go to a party, or you have the option to sit in front of the TV and watch the movie, or you have the option to go to some shopping. So there are all these various options presented in front of you. And what you pick is your choice. It's not that somebody has forced upon you. So, based on the choice we make, and Maya is testing us accordingly. to see if we are really sincere or determined to move towards Krishna or not. And on the same line, there are so many lessons we had discussed from Ramayana, specifically from the pastime of Hanuman crossing the ocean. So as Hanuman is crossing beyond the ocean, the first obstacle which came was in the form of Menak Parvat, which is a gold mountain. So what does this gold mountain represent? It is opulence. And this is how the test of Maya comes sometimes. So in our life also some situation comes when we try to engage in bhakti. Krishna will present us various tests. It could be in the form of some gifts, in the form of some opulence, or in the form of some punishment, such as some kind of health problem. That is the sort of punishment, or the gift or opulence could be in the form of some wealth, some nice home. So all these various things come in the form of as a test. So when this Menak Parvat came, Hanuman rejected to stay there or to take rest, showing that I cannot stay here or I cannot stop the work of Lord Ram. My first and foremost duty is to engage in service of Lord, to fulfill the work in the service of Lord. But in our case, generally, whenever some little facility come, little opulence come, we become slackened in our process of bhakti. We say, okay, let me enjoy now. I can do bhakti later also. Maybe what is the big deal if I don't chant today? What is the big deal if I don't go to satsang today? What is the big deal if I don't go to temple? So all these things are the distractions which come in front of us. And that is how Maya tests. And this Maya is very difficult to overcome. Durataya. So why Maya is so difficult to overcome? Again, this is being appointed by Krishna. As if a child, when it doesn't listen to parent, and doesn't do his homework, doesn't do his work, parent sometimes may hire a tutor, and which may be very strict, so that the child will sit down and study. So same way Maya is like that. It does not mean that Krishna doesn't love us, but it is just that Krishna is trying to get us straightened, get us fixed in our misbehavior. And one could then ask, then how will I overcome Maya? If it is so difficult to overcome, then is there any way out? How to overcome? And Krishna gives the answer in the second line of this verse. And what is the answer? He says, Mam evam ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. If somebody surrenders unto me, then he can easily cross beyond it. Because Maya is Krishna's energy, or Maya is Krishna's servant. If somebody surrenders to Krishna, then Krishna tells his servant, okay, sit quietly, let him come to me. So that's how Krishna will take care of his energy and ask the Maya Devi to calm down and let the person make progress. And to understand that point also, we can consider one example. If somebody, say, go to his friend's house, and inside the house there is a dog, and as soon as the person reaches at the door, the dog starts barking at him, and it is ready to pound on that person. And you may keep telling the dog, keep quiet, but the dog may not keep quiet. But then if you call your friend, and if the friend comes and he tells the dog, hey Tommy, sit down, keep quiet, then the dog becomes quiet. The same way, when we call out to Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna, and then Krishna indicates to Maya Devi, please calm down, let him come, keep quiet. then Maya is pacified. See, Krishna is very clearly saying, if you surrender to me, then by my grace, I will take you across this ocean of material existence. I will indicate to Maya that this soul has become mine now. Please leave him. And when the material energy, this Maya Devi, gets the indication from the Supreme Lord, then it easily releases that person, releases that soul from its bondage. Maya says, okay, my work was only this much, to keep troubling the soul until it reaches at the feet of the Lord, until it surrenders unto the Lord. Now since the soul has surrendered to God, my work is done. So to overcome this Maya Devi, we have to accept the shelter of the Lord. And once we take shelter of Krishna, then we can overcome Maya. Because ultimately Maya is Krishna's servant. And when master says something, the servant has to follow. So all these wrong choices, the faults among us, among various people, they are not caused by Maya. They are ultimately chosen by us. Maya is divine because its purpose is divine. And what is that purpose? To make us surrender to the absolute Lord, to the Supreme Lord. And all these temptations which trouble us, as long as we are not determined to serve Krishna. But when we become determined, when we surrender to Krishna, then we can become free from Maya. And that is what is the desire of Maya Devi. And that is what is the desire of Krishna. So that we don't keep wandering within this world. Ultimately, we come to our senses, realize the deficiencies within this world, deficiency in our approach to enjoy this material world, and we come to our senses and surrender unto the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, this Maya Devi is ready to grab us at any weak moment. It's looking for the opportunity, and as soon as we fall a little weak, Maya Devi grabs us. And that is her job. To test our sincerity, test our determination. And our determination is tested day in, day out. Are we really serious in various things, various activities? Are we getting tempted by the enjoyment mentality, or we are fixed? Are we choosing between service to the Lord, or we are choosing between enjoyment? All these various options come. People have the choice to make. Somebody may choose to drink milk. Somebody may choose to drink liquor. That is the choice. Both things are in front of you. What you pick is your choice. If you can tolerate those temptations and stay fixed in the mode of goodness, more we come to closer to the mode of goodness, more we can understand Krishna better. Because coming to the mode of goodness is a starting point to understand Krishna. Sometimes people are distracted by various opulences, or sometimes people get distracted by various troubles which come in life. Both opulences or problems in life, both are the test of Maya. As I mentioned once earlier, kuch log padarth paakar atak jate hain, kuch prashansa paakar bhatak jate hain. So what does this mean is, sometimes we get distracted just because of some little bit benefit which are given to us in our life, in the form of some material opulences, some wealth, some home, nice position, and we just get completely distracted from the path of bhakti. We think, oh, I have got this now, I need to first take care of this thing. Or sometimes there is a little problem in life, either it could be a financial problem, it could be a health problem, and we get distracted completely. And mind plays a big role in that. Mind's job is to magnify the problem. There may be a slight problem in life, but mind keep magnifying the problem like anything. They say, "Bolte hai, rai ka pahad bana dena." That's what mind does. दो छींके आके आई, माइंड इज की टेलिंग यू यू आर सिक, यू गॉट कोल्ड, यू यू आर वेरी सिक, यू शुड नॉट डू एनी वर्क, यू शुड जस्ट लाई डाउन इन द बेड अंडर द ब्लैंकेट. सो माइंड कीप मैग्निफाइंग द प्रॉब्लम एंड देन सम पीपल इवन दो दे कम टू द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस, बट द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस इज ऑल्सो वेरी मच बाइंडिंग. एंड हाउ इज दैट बाइंडिंग? Mode of goodness is when somebody is eating the food in mode of goodness, they are happy by gaining some knowledge. But with knowledge comes little praise also. When somebody sees, oh, you are a very knowledgeable person, somebody may try to glorify you, somebody may try to praise you. And that praise also becomes an obstacle in our further progress. So somebody get completely bound up by that feeling of satisfaction by getting that little praise. And the whole agenda becomes getting name and fame then. That I want to become more and more popular. I want to gain this name and fame and popularity. So that's why it says, कुछ लोग पदार्थ पाकर अटक जाते हैं, कुछ प्रशंसा पाकर भटक जाते हैं. Because they give up the actual process of bhakti to please Krishna, the purpose becomes to gain happiness because of this glorification which is received from others. So that's why the mode of goodness is also very much bounding. Mode of goodness is compared as a golden chain. Chain is chain. No matter if it is made of gold also, it is still binding. So that's why one need to cross beyond even mode of goodness. And then only one can understand Krishna. And the only hope for us is to surrender to Krishna, take shelter of Krishna by chanting the holy name, by tasting the food offered to Krishna, by serving Krishna directly or serving the devotees of Krishna without any feeling of ourselves feeling special about ourselves, thinking, oh, I am now also become very special or I am also become very advanced, rather than getting that sort of feeling, because that will lead to pride in the heart, which will again bring in the mode of passion. One need to stay grounded, humble, and that is only possible if we think ourselves that I am nobody special. I am very menial person, very simple person. If I did not get anything, that is okay because I am very menial. There is nothing special about me. That is the only way to please Krishna and to come beyond this influence and the clutches of Maya. I will stop here. If anybody has any comments, something to add, any realizations, please feel free to share. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai. Prabhu, a quick question. I don't even know whether it's a question or not. So you're saying everybody is bound by some chain or the other. Does that mean only humans, or does that include the demigods as well?
The demigods as well.
Okay. Okay.
And not just the human, every living entity, any species of life. The trees are mainly in the mode of ignorance because they are not even movable. All other species of life actually. And the human form of life is where we have the opportunity to come beyond the mode of ignorance and passion to the level of goodness.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
So actually, between us and there is a Maya. But Is it correct? Between us and Krishna, there is a Maya. So if Krishna want, Krishna can make Maya power down and lift one up. Yes.
Prabhu. Yes.
So in this scenario, what is the position of Guru?
So the position of Guru is, he is representative of Krishna, who helps us to surrender to Krishna, to remove this curtain of Maya. Because on our own strength, we are not able to go beyond Maya and understand Krishna. So we need the help of somebody who is beyond. So for example, if somebody has fallen in the ditch, to come out of the ditch, he needs somebody who is out of the ditch, so he can throw the rope to us and pull us out. The same way, when we are in this material world, completely trapped in these three modes of nature, we need somebody's help to push us out or pull us out, one way or other. Right? Either there is somebody who can push us out, or somebody is there up who is able to pull us out. So that is what Guru does.
So is it right to understand that? Sorry, is it right to understand that Krishna makes the Maya's power less, and then Guru holds our hands and takes away from the mood?
Yes. As I gave the example, right, the dog is barking, he is not letting you enter. But when the master says, keep quiet, so basically he is reducing the power of dog. He is calming down the dog so the person can enter. The same way, Krishna can reduce the power of Maya and magnify the power of the representative, in one sense, Guru or other devotees, who can help us move forward towards Krishna.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Got it.
Yeah, so the main point to understand among these three verses is everybody is under the influence of Maya. And the way to go out is to surrender to Krishna. But one should not think that, oh, why Krishna is covering me with Maya? If he wants, he can remove the Maya. Why Krishna is creating this Maya to cover everybody? So main thing to understand here is, it's not that Krishna is covering us with Maya. It is because of our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. That's how we are covered up by Maya. And it's not that Krishna who is covered by Maya, it's our vision which is covered by Maya. And we need to clear our vision. In this analogy, I specifically like this analogy very much, like the test, multiple choice questions on the test. Right? Sometimes people claim, oh, Krishna forced me to do this. No, Krishna presented various options in front of you. It's you who chose the wrong option. It's not that Krishna forced you to pick the wrong option. It's like the teacher gives the exam and there are multiple choices. One is right and three are wrong. It's us. If we pick the wrong choice, it's our problem. It's not that Krishna's problem.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes,
Prabhu. Again, I don't know how to put this very subtly, but it says, surrender unto me and I'll take care of you. That is, I believe, is the bottom line of this whole conversation today, discussion today.
Sorry, what was your statement, Prabhu?
That surrender unto me and I will take care of you. That, yes, I believe, is the bottom line of the whole thing.
Now, right, that late, is the second part of the 14th verse.
Yeah. So, like, I can try to relate or rather, I'll give an example that is happening with me nowadays. And I'm sharing it in the open forum here. Like, at work, there was times when I was very hesitant to do things. Now I feel like, okay, you know what? What can go wrong? Probably it has made me more fearless, more bold. And I've tasted success with that. But I have I've become more adventurous. Now, is that the right path or the wrong path? I'm like,
see,
okay,
if we are becoming more confident, bold on the strength of Krishna, being dependent on Krishna, that's the right path.
But at what point of time do I start realizing that I'm becoming reckless or too adventurous? How do I know when should I rope in?
See, we have to be a little cautious in the sense we are not mixing too much of our personal spiritual practices into our work environment or into the politics which happens at work sometimes.
Yes.
Which can go against us.
Correct.
We have to be careful of that. But if it does not interfere with others' belief, others' faith, or others' work, whatever I am doing, even at my work time or work environment, then it should be okay. So if I am reading on my own personal time, or if I am listening to some lectures which is not causing any problem to somebody else, and as long as I am not jeopardizing my assignments, then it is okay. But if I have started messing up with my work responsibilities, then it will bring a bad impression on others.
But that is again the impression of a human soul, which again, because of the faith or because of the surrender that I have done, I know there will be a new set of choices that will be presented to me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'll try to pick a choice, which I hope is going to be the right choice.
Right. So, see, there is a difference being confident and reckless.
Correct.
Right, as you mentioned earlier. Reckless means I don't care what happens. Confident means whatever I am doing is I am doing backed up by the intelligence of superior authority or backed up by the Shastra. I am following the proper guidelines and I will do the right thing in my understanding, which is as per the guidance of the superiors, but I will not kind of bend down upon my morals. I mean, if you do that way, then you are doing the right thing. Not compromising your principles, not compromising your moral values. So in that situation, if you say, okay, whatever happens, that is Krishna's plan. Krishna will present to me various other options.
Okay.
But if you have to jeopardize your principles to please others, then we are doing something wrong.
Correct. Totally agreed.
So, for example, if you go to a lunch party or something for the office, right, with other colleagues. And then there is a choice to make, okay, if I present myself as per my morals and principles that I am a Krishna conscious person who does not eat anything apart from Krishna Prasad, or at least I will be making the choices as per being vegetarian options. But if somebody is jeopardizing that principle to please his boss or his superiors at the work environment so that they don't feel wrong about him or don't feel inferior about him, if just to please them for the sake of making some gain in the position or promotion or something. So that is completely against our philosophy.
Fair point.
But at the same time, we don't have to go to everybody and push our philosophy on them also. You're getting my point?
Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
So I don't compromise my principles, but I don't go beat around everybody and force my principles. Thinking, oh, I'm being very confident, I'm bold, it's whatever Krishna's plan, Krishna will take care of me. So I don't go and start arguing with my boss, oh, why are you eating all this nonsense, and you should not do this, do that. So if we start arguing with others and force
our ideologies,
principles on them, our viewpoints on them, that may lead to some conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. At the same time, we don't want to be influenced by their viewpoints. So if somebody forces you, unless you eat this thing, you are not going to get the promotion. Or if you want to keep your job, you have to follow what we say. So you have to give up these principles and accept all these things. So then you can say, oh, I'm dependent on Krishna. Whatever is Krishna's plan, I will not give up my principle. Krishna will present me with various other opportunities.
Fair point, Prabhu.
But we don't want to unnecessarily test Krishna and become reckless, start openly claiming some things in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And that, oh, Krishna will take care of me.
I get the point now, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
I have a quick question, Prabhu. Might be easy.
Yes, sir.
So Krishna says that these three modes of material nature is working under his direction, and only by surrendering him one can go out of this. But what happens to the people who never take shelter of Krishna? But still they are like good preaching people, like Pope in the church, like that.
Mm.
What happened to them? Do Krishna... because they are not surrendering directly to Krishna, what happens to them?
So they come up to the mode of goodness.
Mm.
Right? They are in the Sattva Guna, and not everybody actually. Even if somebody is preaching, preacher does not necessarily mean his mode of goodness.
We'll take a pure preaching person, someone like us.
Right. So somebody may be very nicely doing everything, following the proper principles without influence by the mode of passion or ignorance. So may come to the level of goodness. So even though somebody is not directly accepting Krishna or approaching Krishna, but somebody's spiritual journey has started. As I said earlier, coming to the mode of goodness is the first step towards approaching Krishna.
Hmm.
So even though they have accepted some other form, their journey towards Krishna has started.
Okay,
and
so
Krishna will make arrangement for them to progress more and more, to come to the proper understanding.
Okay. In conclusion, shall I say that until or otherwise one takes shelter and surrender unto Krishna, he will not have any chances to go out of these three modes of material nature?
Until we accept Krishna
means Krishna only the source to go out of this material nature.
See, Krishna is not a very exclusivist approach. Krishna is inclusive of other forms and other methods and other paths that Krishna has given for everybody to make progress.
Yeah, so the people in some other religion followers, they will come, the purest in that, they will come into the mode of goodness. Okay, mm-hmm. They can be fully in mode of goodness, but they might not aware of Krishna. They have the understanding, but not clear.
Right. They may not be aware of Krishna in that particular form of Krishna, but they are approaching Krishna in the form of maybe as his Brahman aspect or as his Paramatma aspect. Right? They approach Krishna as the absolute truth. They may not know the actual form and actual name of Krishna as per that particular letter, but they approach Krishna in one particular form, which could be as Paramatma in the heart or as the impersonal Brahman. So in that way also they make progress. They can come to the level of Shuddha Sattva also. So that's why I'm saying Krishna is inclusive of all the various methods which Krishna has given. So ultimately one has to understand Krishna in its real Savrupa to come back to Krishna in his spiritual world, which is the complete aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why Krishna says, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanam Prapadyate. So after many, many, many life forms, one comes to the actual understanding, knowing Krishna to be the absolute truth.
Okay.
There are the two verses here. One is Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavanam Prapadyante. And the other verse is Manushyanam Sahasreshu Kashyati Yatati Siddhaya Yatatam Api Siddhanam Mam Veti Takash. So out of many, 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 many thousands of people, one may try to understand Krishna. And among such thousands of people who are trying to understand Krishna, one may know Krishna in truth. So what to speak of other religion who are, or other different faith who are trying to understand God. Even people who, as per the name of Krishna and form of Krishna, who are trying to understand Krishna, may not actually understand Krishna to that level.
Yeah, understanding is different than little like surrenderance. If one has the surrenderance, if he is not having the proper understanding also, that's still okay. Because if he has the surrenderance, then he can be.
Yes.
He concerned by Krishna.
So that's Krishna's responsibility to take care of that. If somebody has a surrender attitude, surrender mood, then Krishna will make arrangement for his knowledge to become better and better, to come closer to him.
Okay.
Right, so Krishna takes that responsibility to give him the right direction, right understanding, so that he can come to him.
Basically, when we are telling to someone else, like recently I got this update, so we can't say that only Krishna is the way, not anyone else.
No, we don't say Krishna is the only way. See, Krishna is the way and Krishna is the goal. And we don't say Krishna is the way also, because Krishna is the goal. He is the way also and he is the goal also. There may be many paths, but the goal is one. Because a lot of people have that wrong understanding also, right? So especially, let's say, in Christianity, they will say Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way, in one sense, we may accept that because we say Guru is the way to understand Krishna. So for us, Krishna is the way also, and Krishna is the goal also. Our ultimate goal is to reach Krishna.
They might have different ways.
Right. So the way may be different. Somebody may try to approach it differently, but our ultimate goal is to reach Krishna. So same way, somebody is trying through the way of Jesus or trying through the way of Allah, but ultimate goal is to reach the Supreme Lord. In the beginning, our understanding may not be very clear of the path. I have the goal to reach Delhi, but I may not know the whole path, how to reach. I may take a flight from here to Switzerland, and then from there, maybe I will know further how to go. My ultimate goal is to reach Delhi, but I may not know the whole path. So same way in all these various faiths, they are trying to reach that final goal without even knowing the name of the goal. Right? They may not know the even clear name of the final goal also. They know that, okay, we need to reach there. And they may approach various paths to reach that goal. So slowly, slowly, as somebody is sincerely progressing on that path, Krishna clears the cloud on the way to show us the path, make our path better, more clear.
Yeah, now this is clear to say that Krishna is one of the paths, but Krishna is only the goal.
Yes. So Krishna is our ultimate goal.
Yeah.
So same so, actually in Hinduism also, many people have their different philosophy. They will say bhakti is the path, our initial thing. Ultimately, when we realize the Supreme Lord, then we don't need to do anything. So same way, bhakti, the service is the way also, and service is the goal also. Ultimately, when we reach Krishna, there also our goal is to serve Krishna. It's not that now I have reached Krishna, now I don't have to do anything. Now I am with Krishna, I am one with Krishna. So our path is also bhakti, and our goal is also bhakti, serving Krishna.
Thank you for the explanation, I understand now.
Okay, thank you. So basically discussion makes our understanding clear. That's why discussion is also very important.
Yeah, Prabhu.
Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.